Welcome to the Album Nerds Podcast with your hosts, Andy, Don, and Dude.
Dun, da, dun, dun.
Dun.
What's up? It's the Album Nerds Podcast. I'm Dude. I got Andy and Don with me, of course. Andy, how you doing, my friend?
Doing well, doing well. Just reminded of that bit from Ghostbusters where they all chime in with their names, you know? Ray... Egon.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
When they're firing up their proton packs.
Yes. The first time they all kind of hit that pitch.
Yep.
Come to harmony together. Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful moment in cinematic history. Don, how you doing?
Good. I'm all lathered up in sunblock.
Because it's the summer of Don.
Exactly.
Right. I was hoping you were wearing tanning oil. Bain de soleil.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
For the Saint-Tropez tan. All right, so this is the Album Nerds Podcast. We love albums, the album format. It's going to be a great show today, and it's the summer of Don. So we're going to be revisiting Sade's Diamond Life, and we'll get into more details about this very special summer in a minute. And then Don is going to ask us a deep question. Then we're going to give some shout-outs to some albums and album-related items that we've been digging out there in the world. And then we're going to spin the wheel of musical discovery to find out what we'll talk about next time. But this week, in Sade.
It's going to be hot.
I proclaim this the summer of
Donny Lakey.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's some summer of Don, some summer of Don. Okay. Anyway, the summer of Don continues. So I went back into the archives of the Album Nerds before I was on the show, came up with a list of records I want to get my 2 cents in about and put it on the wheel of musical discovery and keeps picking a new record each week. This week, we'll revisit the album Sade's Diamond Life, which you guys discussed on episode 90.
Actually, my true Nigerian name is Fola Sade, which means crowning glory. Sade, really. But in England, everybody goes Sade. In America, people tend to go Sade.
Stupid Americans.
Sade.
So embarrassing.
Come on.
It sounds like a toilet paper brand.
Yeah, we're so crass. Come
on. All right, so the album is Sade's Diamond Life. Here's the cut, Smooth Operator. That's what they used to call me in high school.
Because you pooped your pants?
Because I didn't have to shave. So I had to start. No need to ask, he's a smooth operator.
Smooth operator. I just pictured Don excusing himself from class, running to the bathroom. Donald, you need a bathroom pass.
Okay, so Diamond Life is the debut studio album from English band Sade, featuring Nigerian-born singer-songwriter Sade Adu, along with other former members of the band Pride, including guitarist and saxophonist Stuart Mathewson, bassist Paul Denman, and keyboardist Andrew Hale. So like I said, you guys talked about this on episode 90. Seems like you enjoyed it then. What do you think about it now?
No, I did enjoy it back in episode 90. I still enjoyed it today. I thought it was a pretty solid record overall. I think the key word I keep going back to is restraint. And restraint can be sexy. And I think Sade finds a way to make, you know, restraint sexy here.
I grew up with this album as a staple in the household. It was the first cassette that my parents ever bought after we got our cassette player and moved on from vinyl, at least temporarily. And yeah, it was kind of their romantic album. I liked the sound of it. My little sister used to love the song Smooth Operator, as she called it. She was probably like 4 and had a problem with S sounds somehow. But I always enjoyed this record. It's a perfect, you know, romantic quiet storm kind of mood setter. So
I remember when I was a boy watching MTV, you know, waiting for the next Duran Duran video, this would come on and I would end up, you know, changing the channel. So this was not something that appealed to me when I was that young. But as I'll explain later, I think my musical path has sort of, you know, primed me to, you know, finally embrace a record like this. Well, let's hear another cut. This is Cherry Pie. She's my
cherry pie. It's been a while. Chicken whale.
A little more edgy than I remember.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
For some reason, I don't think of like a beautiful, like cherry, you know, fresh made cherry pie. I picture one of those like Hostess, you know, vending machine cherry
those
pies.
Pocket things.
Yeah, yeah, the wrapped up. Yeah.
I used to love those things, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say Sade does have sort of that prepackaged feel to this record, I guess. Everything feels kind of compartmentalized and kind of in their own lane, I guess you could say. But the reason I like that track, the reason I picked that track, Cherry Pie, there was, so I feel like that track felt the most alive to me on their album. It's a little bit funkier than most here. And I think that's what I liked about that song, and what maybe is missing from this record as a whole for me is just that liveliness, that energy that maybe is a little bit smoothed away on some of these tracks here.
Well, this is one of the few songs where it seems like it's about, like it could be about her and her feelings about a thing. The rest of it is more from a like jazz lounge singer singing the songs, like, you know, Sinatra or whatever, where they just perform the songs really well, but it's not about them. And this one feels a little more personal. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
No, yeah, you're right. Totally right. My clickbait headline for this album is, "The Diamond Life sounds bright and sparkly, but when it comes to depth and emotion, this is more of a cubic zirconia."
Can you cut glass with a cubic zirconia?
I think dude's expression right now could cut some glass. He's pissed.
Ouch.
Yeah, I mean, I'm positive on this record overall. I did enjoy it, but does this feel a little lacking in emotion? Like you said, dude, like, feels a little detached lyrically on most of these tracks, you know, aren't really about her. And I think that does kind of lead to this sort of standoffish nature to the album. And musically, it's so restrained. It never really opens up. There's a few moments where it hints at maybe opening up, but never really get like that full blossom.
I don't think it's supposed to. I mean, it's smooth jazz with smooth jazz vocals from a very controlled singer, where her voice is kind of like one of the horns, you know? It's like part of the jazz instrumentation in some ways, you know? It all fits together, but the word here is smooth, I mean, throughout. And I think the idea is to set a mood, sets a mood, and I think it's very intentional. And it's pop. It's pop music. This is not like indie rock of the time or something. This was meant to be palatable.
I do agree.
I think it is palatable, but the risk of being palatable, you know, you sometimes sacrifice some, you know, authenticity or, you know, depth of emotion.
Andy, how does this, I know you pretty much hated the Simply Red record. How does this compare to that? Because they're kind of the same. I mean, they're similar in that way. I think that they're kind of holding back.
Yeah, I guess I feel similarly about them, because there were moments on that Simply Red record that I felt like they showed glimpses, kind of like we see on this Sade record, where like they might be really cool to see live. And I have heard good things about both of those bands live that maybe we'd be interested to see. And I feel like it's just, you're kind of missing out a little bit on that, on these albums.
See, now, like, I didn't hate the Simply Red. I just didn't think it was soul. I didn't think it was soulful. It was adult contemporary, and it was fine. This one, I think, is very soulful. It's like a Quiet Storm type of album. And I think it accomplishes what it set out to do. And I don't know if Simply Red knew what they were trying to accomplish other than getting on the radio again. So, which, there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Metallica did it.
Ooh, one, two from Don.
That was for Andy.
Yes.
You got knocked the fuck out, out, man.
We should do a whole episode on Andy's Metallica sellout theory.
Yeah, I'd love to litigate that case because I got charts and graphs over here ready to go.
I'm pretty sure Lars Ulrich would show up at your door and you would regret your decision.
Yeah, with his lawyer, probably sue me.
Be a fun bonus episode. Okay, well, let's hear another cut. This is the final track on the album. This is called Why Can't We Live Together?
The thing we haven't said yet is that these songs, there are moments where they sound exotic, and you know, I think that was part of the appeal at the time.
Mysterious is something I keep thinking about. Like it feels foreign, I guess, or something cool about it.
So Why Can't We Live Together is a cover of a song written and recorded by Timothy Thomas in 1972. You know, I think this is a really interesting, you know, treatment, kind of slow and building. It's actually like 2 minutes into the song before the vocals come in. I think it's powerful. And I would say it's the only time on the album I was really like moved kind of emotionally. You know, kind of stepping out of that smooth whatever feel. And yeah, so I thought this was a well-executed cover. My clickbait headline for the album is Sade turns Don's dalliance with Sophistopop into genuine affection.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I've...
dalliance, huh?
Wow. Yeah.
That could be a lyric.
So I don't, I mean, I just recently became aware of this term Sophistopop, but I think I kind of understand what it is. And I think probably like the Simply Red record, you know, might fit into that.
Well, you just keep selling that damn thing, don't you?
Yeah. remember we did Roxy Music Avalon? Mm-hmm. Now that was a bit more rocky and maybe closer to yacht rock, but it had the horns and it had elements of jazz, and it even that felt like a little restrained. And I mean, that's an album I've really started to enjoy over the last 10 or 15 years. And I think I'm finally ready to, you know, appreciate this kind of music. So
what died inside you, Don, that lets you appreciate this?
Really, I think it's just, I think it's age. Just getting old.
Maybe it's just that you have more, like when you're a kid, you don't want an 8-course meal with a bunch of different stuff. You just want your freaking Happy Meal, right?
Yeah.
I think as you get older, you're more, there are more occasions for other sounds and exploring things that maybe are from the past that bring back memories, like Don remembering turning the channel every time it came on MTV, you know, because it was for grown-ups. Now he's a grown-up, so he can check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's so it's probably just the psychological thing where I labeled it as something for old people. And then
now you're an old person.
Yeah. All right, well, let's hear one more. This is Hang On To Your Love.
A little guitar sound there, I think, is what kind of was more the focus of their sound on future records. Less so the saxophone, which is, you know, very mid-80s. Saxophone was in every pop record. You know, Bruce Springsteen was using tons of saxophone then too. So
yeah, everybody loves that 80s sax, man.
That's right. Just got a picture of Rob Lowe in St. Elmo's Fire sweating all over everyone. Blasting that sax.
If I can find someone who's fool enough to let me play my sax.
Yeah, so Hang On To Your Love was one of my favorites on this record as a kid. It delivers a message of resilience and commitment in love, like through the trials and tribulations of a relationship. And my parents had a stumbling block in theirs around the time they got this record. And it symbolized to me as a kid the, you know, things getting back to normal and stuff, I think. So I think I have some emotional ties to this album that make Andy's zirconia comments particularly hurtful, but
did you disrespect to the love of your parents? I mean, I'm grateful that this record served them.
This is when they said, why can't we live together?
Yes. So my clickbait headline, Sade's Diamond Life will seduce your soul. Smooth jazz and sultry vocals that create a quiet storm of musical chemistry. So I think the chemistry of this band is important. The band is called Sade, as is the singer. And I think that's often a problem with some of these groups that choose someone's name as the name of their band. Yeah. The rest of the guys get kind of lost in the mix, but the same core lineup has been with her the entire time. Every record they've recorded has been a collaboration, and they worked in that band, Pride, together. They've been working together for decades, and they have honed this sound that is uniquely theirs. I just think it's important to point that out and be aware, you know, when Ordinary Love and other songs you might know from future releases, this is the same group of people. It's not just her with a house band coming up with, you know, whatever the flavor of the day producers and writers have come up with. This is their stuff through and through. So I just think that's important to know.
Yeah. No, they play very well together. And I mean, I have to give a shout out to Stuart on saxophone there, man. He does kick some ass.
Yep. He's a guitarist too.
He plays guitar too. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a few moments on here that are really great sax solos. I mean, very impressive.
Some good bass sounds too.
Yes, you. Don loves his bass. Slapping the bass. The whole album is sensual and cerebral. There are some moments of thinking. Lyrics and songs are not just about romance, but, you know, like Frankie's First Affair. I think you can figure out what that's about. When Am I Going to Make a Living? About trying to make, you know, I think probably as artists at the time, but, you know, the struggle of making ends meet, and when am I going to have my break, or when are things going to go right for me? And
that track really, I think, rang true more so than most tracks on the album for me. Like, I could actually really feel the kind of desperation in her voice on that. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there is more to this than just sultry, slow jam stuff. Mm-hmm. Although it's got that, it's got all the sultry you need for a pleasant evening.
Just kind of interesting deadpan delivery sometimes.
You know what I mean? Just kind of like flat, you mean? Like,
yeah, but it works. It kind of, you know that song, the girl from Ipanema?
Mm-hmm.
The way she just sort of has that like kind of deadpan delivery too. Although, I mean, obviously Sade is a much better singer than whoever that was.
But. Yeah, I think it's that control. Like, there's a lot of vocal control, as Andy kind of alluded to as well, but I think it's part of setting the mood of not over emoting at times, you know?
That's kind of a vocal jazz thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's part of being cool, man. You don't want to show too much emotion. Keep it under wraps. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
So this is the Summer of Dawn, and we are talking about records that you guys talked about before that I didn't have a chance to discuss. And so I am glad that we got to this one, because Sade is a name that I always hear, you know, people talk about the Sade records and, you know, how great they are. And it seemed like something I needed to spend some time with, you know, just much ado about ado. anyway. Okay, so the record was Sade with Diamond Life from 1984.
Excuse me. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Right. It's time again for Deep Questions by Don. So, a smooth operator, I guess, can be a person who manipulates others through a calm, charming, and persuasive manner. Have you ever been charmed into doing something you later regret? It's a dangerous question.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, I mean, for me, I feel like this happens a lot. I mean, like, I'm tough over, like, email or messenger or something digital. But, like, in person, like, I will just, like, roll over immediately if you suggest something remotely contradictory what I was thinking.
That's why I miss being near you physically, because I used to be able to manipulate you in all sorts of ways. Make that eye contact, and Andy's like,
sure. Yeah, if people come to my door and try and sell me something, I will probably end up buying it. But try to email me about it, and I will send you a nasty letter.
Wow. There you go.
Nasty.
Yeah. How about you, dude?
Well, I was thinking more of a time when I didn't go through with it, but I was really close.
Wow.
I had some challenges in college where perhaps I was a little more social than I should have been. And there was a period where I was deciding if I was going to go back to school, go get a job, and I was struggling to find a job. So I visited a Navy recruiter.
Oh my gosh.
I just wanted some information. I just wanted a pamphlet. 3 or 4 hours later, I've got a piece of paper in front of me. Just sign here, pen in hand.
Oh my
gosh.
This
dude, I don't know what dream weaver stuff this man was pulling. They do great work. These recruiters do their jobs and they do them well. But I was so close, and I decided I wanted to just go outside and think about it for a second. And when I was out there, he was like looking through the window, and I just left and got in my car. And I'm like, I can always go back. Y'all know me. I am not a soldier.
Wow. Can you imagine what you would have been like today if you had signed up?
I don't think it would have been good for the country.
You know, we this about me. That day.
Yeah. This is about the US of A, and it wouldn't, I think they would have been making a mistake by bringing me in.
So for me, well, you know, a couple of years ago, a charming fella convinced me to do this podcast.
Yes. Oh, jeez.
Wow. Sorry that happened to you, Tom.
Yeah, you should start a support group.
Yeah, right.
There's one other guy that was briefly a member of the team.
The Pete Best of
you and Scott could commiserate.
That's right. I'm a lot like Andy, and we get these, you know, people come to our door and they want to replace our windows and replace our roofs. And I'm just so bad at saying no, particularly when the people are kind of, you know, nice and you know that. I mean, that must just suck having to go door to door.
Terrible job. Yeah.
Yeah. So I always feel bad about it. So now I lie and I say that we're moving. That works.
That's a good excuse. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like my grandma died of excuses, but for home repairs.
Yeah.
Exactly. I like it.
Yeah, you just got to hope that the churn at these places brings a new salesperson right. In the next cycle.
Yeah, so I thought you were moving.
You just put on a mustache. You're like, oh, no, not Donald's, Ronald's.
All right. Well, what have you been charmed into doing that you later regret? Let us know. Visit us on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and also on our website, albumnerds.com.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
All right. Well, it was a smooth and sultry week for all of us listening to the Sade record. But did you have a chance to check out anything else?
Oh, you know I did, man. I got my little man purse over here filled with delicious new releases. Let's check some out. First one up is from a group called La Luz.
La Luz.
Yeah, they're from Seattle, so I don't know. La Luz. The album is called News of the Universe. So they're a four-piece from Seattle, Washington. It's kind of like a surf rock adjacent vibe. This is a
kind of sad surf rock.
It's got to be, right?
You know, a little gloomy,
a little dreary. Yeah. First single is called Strange World.
Ooh, I like it. I guess I was expecting fellas for some reason.
I think they're all ladies, if I recall correctly.
Oh, cool.
Some nice vocal harmonies there.
Mm-hmm. I bet their swimsuits are all black.
Yeah. Maybe they're made out of flannel.
Nice. All right. The next one up for me is a South Korean girl group known as Aespa, I think is how you would say it. AESPA. The album is entitled Armageddon, the first album. I don't think this is their debut, but blowing up quite a bit. The big single is called Supernova.
Sounds like the Spice Girls.
Yeah, I mean, we're not that far off, man. They called this like combination of like kind of like futurized hip-hop / pop, hyper-pop.
Hmm.
Just FYI.
This is very Spice Girls.
But they're Korean, so it's different.
Right. The spices are slightly different.
That's right. What a barbecue thing. Okay.
Yes.
All right, last one for me is from Argentina. Her artist name is Nathy Peloso.
Man of the world over here.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Yeah, we're all over the place. The album is called Grasa, which means grease. I looked up.
Grease is the word.
That's right, yeah.
Grasa the word.
Gotta do it, don't you? Yeah, this is definitely more Andy's type of thing than the old Duder.
It's a very diverse record. There's definitely like hip-hop elements, but there's more traditional like Latin music as well. She produced an entire movie for the album. Every moment of it has a musical video component, which I thought was pretty cool. What you been digging on, Don?
A group that I remember back in the 90s, Big Head Todd and the Monsters, has a new album. I always figured, like, if they lost their lead singer, I could step in.
Big Head Don and the Monsters.
Anyway, their new album is called Her Way Out. This is the title track.
Sound about the same,
yeah,
as they did before.
It's kind of a bluesy rock band, I guess.
Yeah, that's cool.
They're from Colorado. I remember them. I think the first time I heard of them was they were on that Horde tour with like Blues Traveler and Spin Doctors. Yeah.
They have like a big single from that period.
The one I know best is probably Bittersweet.
Yeah, she's bittersweet. Yeah. Blah, blah. Blah, blah, bittersweet.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Another one, I went international as well. An artist called, or known as Winter Aid. It's actually an Irish musician named Shane Cullity. This is an album called Pull the Sky Inside. This is a song called Silk.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, it's pretty kind of moody and a little weird. Very long album. It's a little too long. It's about an hour, but interesting. There's definitely a potential there. And then I just wanted to mention, I got around to watching a documentary from 2008 called The Wrecking Crew, which is about that group of LA session musicians from the 1960s that played with Phil Spector and Brian Wilson. It was actually made by the son of the guitarist from The Wrecking Crew, Tommy Tedesco. But it's just amazing, how many records these people played on, and they played with the Monkees and stuff like that, and they didn't always get credit on the sleeve notes.
Right.
I bet those guys got some good stories to share, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Some classic artists.
Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out. I think you can find it on Hulu.
Cool.
Hulu.
How about you, dude?
So a band I've just generally been digging a lot in the last couple of years is Bastardane, and their second album was just released called Catatonic Symphony. It's sludgy, groovy, heavy music with clean vocals and good energy. This is a little bit of Masquerade. On this one, they do seem to experiment a little more from track to track. A lot of different sounds, a lot of different styles, but they seem to do them all very well. I've been really digging this.
Feels a little more conceptual, this album, than the previous one, which I appreciate. It's cool.
Yeah, we talked about the first record, right?
Correct. Yes, we did.
On episode .. I don't remember which one.
Yeah.
Year or two again.
I'd say there was some growth here. That's what I'm always looking for in young bands. Speaking of young bands, there's this new band called The Props. They just have singles released at this point. This is a little bit of Get Off from the Echoes Get Off single. The vocalist is Nick Reese, formerly of Joyous Wolf, who I was really into, more of a blues rock band. It was like really close to breaking, and then the pandemic happened.
Yeah, one of the Wolf bands.
Yes. They had some creative differences. I think Nick wanted to be more poppy, and this is his new band where that seems to be happening. I'm looking forward to the album.
Interesting.
And then, of course, album acquisition for the vinyl collection. Mastodon's Leviathan. We'll play a little bit of Blood and Thunder. I got a used copy for like $18. Blue vinyl. My favorite Mastodon album, inspired by Herman Melville's Moby Dick. Progressive metal, sludge, intricate riffs, great storytelling, And I had to pick this. I told myself I was only going to buy one record when I was at the store. And it was this or the 1971, like, original release of Electric Warrior by T-Rex, which I thought I might be able to find again more easily than this.
Hmm. Well, tough choice.
Mm-hmm. So you really only bought the one?
I did.
The restraint?
Okay. Well, huge truck repair I got to pay for in a move and stuff, so I'm trying to tighten the belt.
You know what Moby Dick's father's name was? Papa Boner. Oh, jeez.
I don't think that's true.
All right.
Yes. All right. So what are you digging? Let us know. Join us on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Also on our website, albumnerds.com.
It will be a discovery of extraordinary value.
Well, it's about that time on the show when I'm reminded of the great Indian yoga guru and author, P.K.S. Iyengar, who said famously, "The hardness of a diamond is part of its usefulness, but its true value is in the light that shines through it."
Wow.
Good.
Beautiful.
With that in mind, let's bring out my friend and yours, Wadbot, to see what we'll be discovering on next week's episode.
The summer of Don continues. With that in mind, I will be choosing which albums from Don's curated list you will be exploring this summer. Next time, prepare yourselves to get your grungy flannel shirts out of storage. You will be discussing Pearl Jam's 1991 debut album, 10.
Shit. I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah, you did.
Pearl Jam, and not the new album.
No, very old.
So yeah. 10. Landmark. I'd be interested. I know what Andy thinks about it, but I don't think I really know what grown up Don thinks about it. That'd be interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, don't forget, you can suggest topics for The Wheel on our website, albumnerds.com, as well as vote for any ongoing Album Nerds Hall of Fame nominations.
What do you think of Pearl Jam 10? What else are you listening to? Leave a comment on our website or email us at podcast@albumnerds.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Album Nerds. Also, please subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app. And if you'd like to support the show, you can do so via PayPal at albumnerds.com/support.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Album Nerds podcast. We'll catch you next time with Pearl Jam 10.
Yes.
Summer of Dude? What? Thanks for listening, everybody. Catch you next time.
And all I taught her was everything.
A little spit on that one, huh?
Yeah,
that was juicy.
I'm starting to drool.
I thought you were going to do Jeremy.
What song is that?
That's Jeremy.
Oh.
Lemon yellow sun.
You sound like Scott Stapp doing.
Yeah.
Not too far.
Watch it.
Oh, boy.